All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you have your Bibles, quickly open to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's together read that. It's a very long portion, and as often is seen in the writings of Paul, it may be a bit confusing. But I'll just bring out, there's something I want to bring out from there. We'll read from verse, I want us to read it together, I don't know. Let's just start together from verse 7, or I'll let you know when to start, okay? Well, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to start reading from verse 7. Now before that, okay, this one is shorter, so let's read this one first. Proverbs chapter 4. I want to explain something. Well, more like continue from the last thing I was saying the other time about life working in us. Let me just quickly read this. Proverbs chapter 4. Now, it said from verse 17, but we were saying many things before that. Now, summarize the life of the wicked. It said that, but they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. I then now said in verse 18, now this is where I want to read verse 18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. It said the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. It said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Please notice that he said that the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the full day. But for the wicked, which he had described earlier, talking about from verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not proceed in the way of evil men. He described the bad things that they do, and how they try to prosper quickly by their wickedness. It's now said that the path of the just shines brighter and brighter. When it says until a full day, what that tells you is that there is a day of darkness where it begins with, and light begins to spring out of darkness, and then this begins to shine brighter and brighter. So it said, for you to walk in the way of righteousness. It said, give attention to my words, verse 20. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. All right? Now, this life, these words, they are life to those who find them. Don't forget, it said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That is the life of God that you discover. It's what makes your life begin to shine brighter and brighter until it enters into a perfect day. Quickly, just bear that one in mind. Quickly, let's go back to that, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want us to read verse 7, whichever version you have. My voice will be louder than yours for one simple reason. I have the microphone, you don't. So, whichever version you have, I will be louder. So, I'll dictate the pace. But I want us to read everything together till we get to verse 18. That is the last verse. From verse 7, 1, 2, let us go. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Verse 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Verse 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Verse 10. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. 11. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. Verse 13. But having the same spirit of faith according to that which is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will present us with you. Verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. For though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Please, I want to read this again, just listen to this, verse 16. He said, therefore we do not lose heart, for though our outer man is decaying, yet from inside, I want you to bear this in mind, from inside it is being renewed day by day. That's what Paul was saying. That is outwardly. If you look at what Paul was saying in context there, he was describing the matter of apostleship, the problems they had to go through, all right, to be able to bring the light and the gospel of God to people. And that what he was saying is that when you look at that, it's as if they should be dying, all right? Things should have happened and brought their lives to an end. For example, there was a time that Paul was stoned, you know, he was stoned. They stoned him properly. They were not joking. You must understand that. What you see these Muslims do today, the Jews they learned it from the Jews. The Jews have been doing it for a very, very long time, all right? They don't like you, they stone you. So they stoned him and they thought he was dead. But after they left, all right, he got up and walked back to the city. That's what he was saying. That you see in his flesh, death was walking. But from inside, life was coming out and renewing it day by day. Now, that's the power of Christianity. And when Paul was speaking in that book of Philippians, he explained that this was what I was going for, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I want to experience it. I want to experience it. I want things to come down to zero before everybody's eyes. And why they are thinking that that's the end of it, suddenly from inside, there's a power, something inside so strong that suddenly raises me up again. That's what he calls the power of his resurrection. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I said something the other day, I want to continue from that Christians, we must have this winner's mentality. And that's what I've been trying to preach to people. In fact, the last, I was in Osaka over the weekend, and that was one thing I was preaching to them. You must have this winner's mentality. Now, why did I read 2 Corinthians chapter 4? Because this is where we make the mistake. We misinterpret the issues of life so that if things are going wrong, we look at it as a sign that death is working and there is no life that is working. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to explain. But Paul made it clear that you will see outwardly that the outer man is decaying. But from inside, please, that's my emphasis, that this is the power of Christianity. And you must, this is our school of prayer, all right? I want to take a break and I'll get back into what I was saying in a moment. But I want to just introduce why we are doing what we are doing. Is that, don't forget, prayer is continual. What did I say? It's not a prayer meeting, you understand? It's not all night prayer. Shall I say to you, it will offend a lot of Christians, but all night prayers are not necessary. Don't worry, I've never been so popular apart from amongst people like you anyway, so it doesn't matter. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. Trust me. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. All right? You say that Jesus did it. Yes. How many times? Go and check it. Okay? It's not, you know, the fact that you are not sleeping and you are awake doesn't make your prayer more potent. That's what I want to explain. Because you see, what is important about prayer, which is what I want to bring out actually, is the fact that it is continual. It's all day, day and night. That's what I'm going to emphasize. It's not that, okay, I play during the whole day, and then I now refuse to sleep at night because I claim I want to pray. And we feel very spiritual when you are doing it. You look at the boy, why are you feeling so tired? Nah, yesterday. Nah, wow. Yeah, I didn't sleep. But you see, now you are making up for it now. So what is the difference? At the end of the week, you have spent the same number of hours sleeping as everybody else. If your God cannot answer your prayer that you prayed during the day, then you should find another God to serve. God can answer prayers said during the day. He can answer the one said at night. So don't get into the religious rot that you must go and pray all night. There's no special potency attached that prayer to prayers that you say the whole night. It is just prayer. If it's prayed on the day, it's good. So when I say unnecessary, I didn't say prayer is not necessary. But the habit of I must go and do all night is not necessary. People say that demons are awake at night. Are they the people you were sent to this earth to go and chase? And I say it all the time. It is total spiritual blindness to say because demons are awake, are most active between 12, what is the time again? 12 and 2. So that time you should not sleep, all right? Are you a sinner? You know, I keep on saying. You should allow each person to understand, do his own job, enjoy his own punishment, enjoy his own assignment, all right? There is no peace for the wicked. There is no rest for the wicked. The wicked must be awake every night between 12 midnight and 2 a.m. pursuing the evil spirits that may be pursuing him. You're not a wicked person, amen? Amen? If you are giving your life to Christ, that your wickedness has been forgiven. Do you believe that? If you believe it, say amen, please.
Amen.
Uh-huh. So it's not necessary. All right? If that is the only time you have, are you getting what I'm saying? It is not because it is night, it's because it's the time you have. That's what I'm trying to explain. If that's the time you have, but it is not, there's nothing special about it. All right? Get that point clear? The Lord is good. Now, but the real thing I'm trying to bring out from there, okay, is that prayer is actually continual. It's continual. It's every time. It's every moment, all right? When you wake up in the morning, it is the first thing you say. When you're going back to sleep at night, it's the last thing you say. As you are driving your car, when somebody runs into you, all right, it almost runs into your car, you understand what I'm saying? Inside heavy traffic, it is the thing that you say, okay? When your child comes to you, like yesterday night, my daughter walked into me. She was going to her bed. She said, came to my room. And I forgot what she even told me, the complaint. Okay, that she was always falling. Time she finishes climbing the staircase, she will fall down. So, you know, there are different ways to handle it. Why are you falling down now? Do you have a neurodegenerative disorder that's making you stagger at the top of staircase? I didn't have time for that. I said, bend your head. She bent it. I put my hands on it and said one very long prayer. I wasn't short, though. Very long. In the name of Jesus, you have stability. She was saying amen. I said everything. I said, now go to bed. She smiled and went to go and sleep. That's how prayer is every moment. In fact, the mother didn't hear about that until now that I'm saying it now because she's in the congregation here. All right? I can look up to somebody. This, my leg is paining me. Bring it. I don't need x-ray. Just bring it. Bring it. Where is the spot? He gives me this. But I put my hand on it in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, all right, you are well now. Go. And he says, thank you. And he walks away. It's continual. You are getting my point? Everything you bring, everything, if salary is not paid on time, you are a member of ASU, like somebody I know here, and they are not paying you. You know, money is not flowing regularly. So I was sitting down there, why did the year you go and die now? Oh, God. This road traffic accident, enemies, everybody is talking. It is time to do what? Pray. And prayer is not always the time I kneel down, I begin to agonize, I must fast first, I must fast, you know. Let's pray about this matter. Okay, we can't pray now, sweetheart. We'll pray tomorrow at 12. Why? So we can fast from this night to 12 o'clock. That's not Christianity. That is just religion. Are you getting my point? The moment the matter comes up, pray about it. You get my point? That your hunger between morning and 12 noon is not going to add any least bit to the potency of that prayer. Get it clear. Let's get it clear. So I want to take small glory. We want to share the glory. Say, God, you will answer the prayer. You will take glory for answering the prayer. But I will collect the glory for praying properly. Yeah, we do that. We do that. So I want to share the testimony. We emphasize on how we pray. We emphasize it. You know, so I declare the 5-day fast. And in the morning, I used to break it with ordinary juice. Sorry, is it morning or evening or whatever time? You like to break your own. So I used to break it. And then I did that. By the 4th day, I stopped the juice entirely. It was not only water, you know. And by the 5th day, even that water itself, we suspended, we began to inhale plenty of air instead of the water, you know. All of this, you want to tell us how you prayed the prayer down from heaven. Hey, waiting. That is, we'll share the glory. God will take the glory for answering it, but I will take the one for praying intensely. That, we do that a lot of times. We do it. And it's not good. What did I say? It's not good. It's not good. It's not good. The matter comes up there, pray about it there, then, immediately. I'm not emphasizing the fact that it's a continual what? Habit. It's a prayer. It's a continual thing. Prayer is it's every time. We're always doing it. We're always doing it. We're always doing it. Look at this fight. We are fighting over constant power supply and things in the country. That's part of it. Anytime. Now, let me get back to my message now. Right? Let me get back to my message. I'm just trying to remind us that what we are doing, remember, it's our school of prayer. We're trying to get into the praying habit. And praying is not just words. It's, you know, it's not just the words. It must be words that are manifestations of what we believe. Please get my point. It's not just words, all right? That's one of the problems with using prayer books, even though themselves they are not bad. You know, there's something about, even the Bible is a prayer book, but it's not just the book. Now, I was saying something on Saturday, was one of these days, about the book of Psalms, that the incantations of the Lord in there, you know, when I was young, there are people who did not, they were not Christians, they used to use them. And when I became a believer, I was wondering, why are they praying like this? But the more I understood, I realized that those prayers are actually good. It's just that it was being said by people who did not understand what was written inside and who did not have the power of life that is found in Christ Jesus. So they now went to the scriptures thinking that in them they will find life. But they didn't know they had to go to him first. So that's the problem with prayer books. All right? A lot of people just carry the books and recite the words, and the words themselves don't have any power in themselves. Okay? They don't. It is the spirit that is inside the person that is expressed through the words that are spoken. That's why we talk like this. So that people will have the right spirit, they have the right victor's mentality. Not just praying, saying things so that maybe, this is the words they said, you know, there was one Paul, this is what he used to say. So when you now see an evil spirit, you turn and say, what did he say it again? He said, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus Christ whom Paul preaches. And they won't go slap somebody. Are you getting my point? It's an insult because you don't have power, but you are bringing to his memory what he has suffered because of that name. So he now releases all the vexation, pours it down, you know, on you. That's what happened to the sons of Sceva. But for Paul, Paul wasn't quoting something that Jesus used to say. Now, listen, you must understand what I'm saying. Though it was the words of Jesus, but wasn't this how Jesus used to pray? Or Peter said that time when the demons would come out and they would send them out. No. When he cast out some demons, it was out of annoyance. He wasn't trying to cast out demons. He just got angry. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. It was like, why is this fellow interrupting my message? Just by the way, once I heard one man, I forgot, was it John G. Lake? No. Or Charles Finney. One of these men of God. I think it was Charles Finney. He said, he will be preaching. There's some men feel they have plenty to say. They will get up to say something. Charles Finney, or I don't remember the man of God now. He will be quiet for a while and let the man talk. And Charles Finney finished preaching. Put up his hand again, please. I want to say something. He will talk to say one day at the point in time. The fellow got up one more time. I don't know whether it's Finney or Gilly. He just said, you sit down. As I said, sit down. The man didn't sit down. He fell down. Pam! And he was unconscious to the end of the meeting. That is, he wasn't trying to, you know, hit the man down under the power. He just said to him, sit down. Sometimes that's what Paul would do. Because of the authority inside him, like, will you shut up there? The demon will disappear. I'm going to explain something. When you have that conviction, all right, you speak words with a different attitude. Now, back to what I'm trying to explain here. So, Christians, we must understand the power of life that is working in us. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. Many times we don't realize it, but it's there. What did I say? What did I say? Whether you feel like it or not, it is there. You know, the other day I was reading a book, that was yesterday night, about a family, preacher's family actually. Then, at the point in time, one of the children got, the wife left him, you know, the divorce and all of that. So I started thinking about this divorce matter again. I said, the problem with some of our brethren, that they don't realize that how you feel is secondary to the covenant you have made. I don't know what I heard I said. They think that how I feel is what the issue is. No, how I feel is secondary to the covenant I have made. And that's why we do a lot of talking, to remind people of what is inside they don't know is there. As I Paul wrote to Timothy, you must stir up that gift that I know is there. It was placed on you by the laying on of hands of the elders. It's there. So he was reminding the young boy, don't worry, stir it up, it will come up again. So the power of Christ may be in us, we don't realize it's there. And that's why we have to keep talking. That's why we have to keep talking. In the same manner, you understand? Now, this is what I'm trying to make. You find out that this power of Christ is in us, and this is the message again, and the life of Christ, I wanted to say, is working. What did I say? It is working. Now, Paul was explaining this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, all right? That you find problems in life, that's what he was trying to bring out. Sometimes you find out that people are discouraged. Things don't work out the way they are supposed to work. Investing money in business is not doing very well. And then, because people want to work from outside, it's proof to them that things are not okay. I feel so strong about it. So people look at it as proof that things are not okay. Our Paul said, no. What we speak, we're talking about prayer. And I said prayer is the words we speak all the time. What we speak is on the basis of what we have heard and we have believed, not on what we are experiencing. That's what I want to bring out about prayer now. It's on the basis of what we have heard and we have believed, not based on our experience. Because the truth, I say it again, is that life is working. It is working. Now, let me talk about that working thing again. I said the other day,
You know, many times we expect God to work miracles. And he can work miracles. Except that he does not always work miracles. You know, I said something, a tweet I sent out yesterday, that faith does not give God time limits. I was just walking on the road, I think God hit me. I said, faith doesn't give God time limits. It trusts and keeps trusting. Because if Abraham didn't understand that, he would have been like many Christians. After waiting for Isaac for a few years, say it's not working. And look at it, naturally speaking, he was getting older. You get the point? His wife was getting older. That's naturally speaking. In the flesh, death seemed to be working. But the truth is that inside, the spirit of life was working. All that while outside, at the age of 75, the man was 75 years old. 25 years later, he became 100 years old. That's death working outwardly. You look at his face, he may not look as young as he looked some time ago. Maybe not. Maybe he did. I don't know. But whatever the appearance outside was, it made no difference. Inside, life was working. In the fullness of time, Isaac was born. Why? Because despite what it was looking like outside, all the while, life was working. All the while, life was what? Working. Life was working. But outwardly, that's why Paul said that's why we will not despair. The reason why we will not despair is because of understanding. It's because of the spirit of faith. Because no matter what it looks like outside, life is working. Life is working. And that's what I was saying the other time. Life is working. And that is the attitude with which a believer prays. Life is working. I said, God does not always work miracles. Boom. And this is one thing about him. If you make a prayer, you understand, you're asking for something. How he does it is not part of the things you're supposed to dictate. Are you getting my point? How is not one of those things that you dictate. It's not though. It's not one of those things. Because people often expect, okay, I prayed now. What I expect is what? A miracle. That is the dictation that I'm talking about. God, it is what? A miracle. You will do a miracle now. Today. Well, sometimes, he doesn't do a miracle. He healed blind people different ways. Some as he's touching you, there and then, eyes will pop open. Some, he puts clay on their eyes, and then he sends them away. And as they are going, the life that he puts in them begins to work. It's as they are going that they begin to see. I dare to say to you, many did not even see while he was there, and he reserved them from Peter, James, John, and co. to finish the work after he would have gone. Do you get the point I'm making? All the while, life was what? Working. I've thought about it. Listen, the power of Christ is alive. Remember, he said, the path of the just is like the light of dawn. And why he used the expression, the light of dawn, is because dawn is the first thing out of total darkness. Do you get my point? That is, early in the day, you see a spark of light. And it's interesting, but sometimes, as you're going on, the cloud can blow, you know. The sun begins to shine, the one thick cloud blows. And if you're not careful to realize that it's the sun we are dealing with, you think that the light has faded. The light didn't fade. It's what the Paul called a temporal affliction. I don't know whether you heard that. It's just temporal. It's temporal affliction. So the cloud stays there. Sometimes it rains. When you finish, the sun remains there. Gidigba. If let's assume that by 9 o'clock, you thought light will come out bright. Instead, clouds gather. And then rain starts falling by 12. 3 hours. No light. By that 1 o'clock, the sun shines in its brightness as if it has continued to shine. As a matter of fact, all right, all the while the cloud was gathered, while the rain was covering everything, all the while, life was what? Working. Life was what? Working. And that's what I want to emphasize to believers again. Listen, in your life, life is working. What did I say? Life is working. in your body, life is working. You know, because of my profession, I know how diseases progress. And I have come to understand that, you know, it's a walking of death. Diagnose the disease in one man today. And you tell him nicely, as a doctor that has nothing he can do for him, that you progress like this, like this, like this, like this. By this period, you'll be totally paralyzed, then you'll now die. So what is happening, doctor? Death is walking in you. Now, I'm putting the spiritual language to it now. All right? But I'm saying to you again, if you cut that same man, after the doctor finished telling him something, say, come, let me show you another thing. You lay hands on him, pray the prayer of faith for the man, and he understands. Whether he gets up immediately well or not is besides the point. If he understands what is going on, instead of death walking, do you understand my point? Life begins to walk. Sometimes it walks so rapidly. You know, there are different ways you can see these things manifest. Sometimes God uses a very fast processor. I don't know why he chooses it. You know, just to go to computer level, I know guys like that a bit, you know. The first time I understood this, you know me, I see everything spiritually. I see everything, spirituality, I see in everything. Long ago, not now, long ago, the one computer I used to have was then, when I first got it, it was the thing in town, a Dell C600 Pentium 3. And people were staring at it. Oh, boy. Dell, no flat, Dell Latitude, C600. I remember my memory was 128 MB. Yes, it wasn't 256, it was 128. And this was talk of time, man. That guy, they live large. You know that kind of thing. Then if you wanted to copy, you want to copy, you know, because we now went into audio, you know, you want to copy a file. It's a big file. And that was before I get to that, there was one computer we had before that time. It was one compact, one Ubuntu compact like this. That don't laugh at it, you are listening to some of the messages we used to convert to. Man on assignment was preached on tape here, recorded on tape. They converted it with that thing. We'll convert the audio for 45 minutes one side. God knows I'm not lying. It used to take 25 minutes to save. To save the file was 25 minutes. So to convert one tape, 45 minutes, 45 minutes, plus 15 minutes to save. So it was from that level, you understand? We're moving. And one day, of course, time was passing. In my office, we got this desktop. I know generally desktops are more powerful systems than laptops. So we had this desktop that was, this time around, a Pentium 4 with a RAM of like 512. And what I used to save on my laptop, that my first laptop, the Dell, that used to be like 5 seconds. On this desktop, the dialog box did not used to pop. Those of you understand what I'm saying? At least on the Dell, it pops up, 5 seconds, it's gone. This one, I click, you don't see anything, it's done. Do you get what I'm saying? That was when I saw that day, I said, suddenly I understand the power of creation. When God said, let there be, let this happen, and there was. We don't know the exact number of, you know, in today's timing, length of time God used. You know, say, but the Bible says it was one day. Look, that portion of the Bible is very, very tough to interpret. You understand? Because our one day now is dictated by the sun, all right? The movement of the sun. But the sun was not created until like the third day. So how did they count the first few days? You see what I'm saying? And so you don't know. So just leave that matter. What did I say? Leave that matter. So when it was evening and it was morning, the evening and morning of day one and day two was not dictated by the sun. So I don't know. But whatever it is, it was one day the way the Lord counted it. All right? But I now realize something. So what God will say, let there be. And then in the one day of that time is done. Sometimes God puts the power in the mouth of a human being. And the human being says, let there be. And it takes 5 years. It is not because it is not working. It's just that for one reason or the other, God chose a slow processing system. So the dialogue box pops open and is dragging along. The path of the just is like the light of dawn. It's shining brighter and brighter. But all the while, life was what? Working. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Sometimes God says, no, hasten that thing, make it fast. Few minutes is a miracle. A few hours, a miracle. Sometimes I say, no. Leave it, let it run a different course. Before, it was a disease process. All right? But it's a process. But now, there is a life process. And that process is now working. And I'm teaching this evening for Christians to have faith in the fact that the life is working through a process. That's why I like that thing that my wife got from one of her friends and taught to my children. When you ask them, how are you? It is well with me. As I'm growing older, I am getting wiser. Can add anyone to like to it. As I'm growing older, I am getting stronger. That is, they understand, in effect, it's a process. I may not be as smart as that guy you are looking up there today, but give me time. Life is working in me. I am growing older, I am getting wiser. I'm persevering in my business, and even though it appears like the sun is being cloud, you know, the rain is being, you know, shielded by a cloud, rain is falling, all the while, life is working in me. When this cloud clears, you will think I've been making steady progress all these years. In fact, not think, you will realize. That's a better word. I always like to quote Robert Kiyosaki in some things when I'm teaching spiritual matters. What he said, take business as an example. Now, I'm going to use my own words, but I derived some of the things from reading what he said. Say, a businessman, you are doing business, sometimes you lose money. He said, yes, you lose cash, but you must not lose the experience. And like I tell my wife all the time, everything in life has a financial value. Everything. Look, everything has a financial value. When the time you lost money, the time you thought you lost money, the fact is you gained something that is worth much more than the financial profit you were expecting. You may not realize what it is. You may not. Let's assume the total money you lost that time was 1.5 million because you were doing some business. The day that thing will come to help you, it might save you 1.5 billion. And this is the interesting thing about life. You will not even know where you got that wisdom. You just get to the office one day, your business is bigger now and all of that. God has helped you through difficult times. Now you're settled into a higher level. So you come to the office one day, they prepared everything. Your managers, you have now, so they just need, the boss's approval. You come, look at this. What? Who said this? Where? How come? Just look what, they show you the financials. Something inside you just says, forget, this will not work. And I'm like, sir, no, this, now you will not even remember where the lesson that taught you that it will not work came from. Some of you said that the Holy Spirit, it is not as if it's not Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit did that work like 15 years ago. He has coded that in the inside. You just look and say, this one will not work. And everybody's unhappy that a guy is missing an opportunity. A few that will listen to you, will listen, and you will suddenly look, if you do this, no, you can't predict this side. When men tell you things like, did they put it in writing? Anything signed? No, you just trust them. Do you know where they are from? You just say some things. Then somebody, the business goes somewhere else. Over the next few years, that business loses 1.5 billion. And everybody say, sir, how did you know? He said, not today. You just said it not today, not knowing that you invested 1.5 million 5 years ago to reap 1.5 billion today. That time it was loss. But as a believer, you understand that life is what? Working. Is that attitude I want you to understand? Life is what? Working. You wanted to travel, important course. I'm going to America, I'm going to the UK for this particular course. You get there, they deny you the visa. Listen to me, life is what? Working. It's not a sign that you are not blessed too. And that's why I read this. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul was explaining to them, you will see all our troubles. But despite it, we believe. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead also will raise us also with Jesus. That is, in the same manner in which it appeared as if he was dead for 3 days. suddenly you will rise up and people will, that is, this time around with the power of an indestructible life. And that's what Paul wanted people to understand. That outwardly, it may look like the body is perishing. Say, but the fact is that from inside, it is being renewed day by day. Even if it does not look like that. Life is what?
Walking.
Life is what?
Walking.
Life is what?
Walking.
Life. The power of Christ, the life of God in you is constantly working. I just feel like adding this one to it, and I think my message is almost through. Now, I just have this feeling in my mind, I should explain something. Sometimes, all right, for God to help us as His children to kill all our worries, we should just consciously direct that thing at the challenge in your life, you understand? And speak to it and say, you, life is working in you. Because what happens sometimes is that, you know, when we are expecting, in quote, a miracle, and things don't respond that quickly, we get discouraged. But I want to say to you again, I'm saying again today, that actually life is what? Working. And you use your mouth to speak to that thing and say, listen to me, oh boy, life is working in you. You talk to your business, life is working in you. You talk to your life, that is your life. Say, which direction is my life going? Who's here? I'm just confused. I don't know what's happening. What's going to happen to me? You know, people who utter such words, they go for all-night prayer meeting. I want to just drop this. Eh? If you get to a night prayer meeting and you are feeling sleepy, just sleep. Just sleep. Say, what if there's a serious matter up? It's not serious. If it was serious, you won't be able to sleep. It's not serious. If it was serious, you won't be able to sleep. The Lord is good. What I'm saying is that if you do enough praying properly while you are awake, you may not need to stay up all this all night with somebody beating drum in your ears to keep you awake. See, I was sitting there saying, hey, I don't know the direction my life is going. What is going on? I'm just confused. Say it. Life is working in me. It's leading me in the path of righteousness for His own name's sake. That's what I mean. That is prayer. That is prayer. I think it's a low level of prayer. We say, oh my God, give my life direction. Just give my life direction. I don't know what's going on with my life. Just give my life direction all night, starting from 10 o'clock till 4 a.m. Then in the morning, say, how was the night? Say, we fought and we won. What did you say the whole night? God, give my life direction. Listen to me, if you have, before you went to bed, when the confession was upon your soul, you just lay down there and say, in the name of Jesus, in me, life is working. I am not discouraged because life is working. God is leading me in the path of righteousness for His own name's sake. You sit there for 15 minutes. Listen, it's more effective. Trust me. It's more effective than staying up awake 10 p.m. till 4 a.m. trying to explain to God why your life should have direction as if He did not know before. When He gave you life, He didn't know, He didn't have a plan for it. Should I ever wake up to do anything early in the hours? I think so. I've said it again and again. It is time to just give thanks, reflect, meditate, read. It's a very nice and quiet time. Don't wake up at night wasting such precious times. Chase the devil when you're in traffic, when there's nothing else to do. Are you getting my point? And then say, devil, I rebuke you. Is that when you're traveling? You know, they're driving. Yes. Devil, I rebuke you. If you're a devil chaser, you love to chase the devil. But those early hours when everywhere is quiet, the children are sleeping, your wife is asleep, it's not a good time to chase the devil. It's a waste. It's a waste. It's a good time to pull out a book, sit up, read it, meditate, speak. You understand my point? That time is too sweet. They'll be wasting on witches. Say, witches, we'll meet in the gym tomorrow. Today. You know why? Because in the gym, you really can't meditate very much. You're on the treadmill, you're jogging, you're carrying weight. Hey, you can waste that one on witches. As I'm lifting this weight, all of you are dead in Jesus' name. Hey, it's okay. It's a very nice way to redeem the time. You know, you must learn how to say, don't be unwise. But redeem the time. So that's how to redeem the time. If you like to chase demons, you know, you are fetching water, do use that time. But those early hours, if you can't do that sleep, one of the best therapies, your brain rearranges while you are asleep. And there are blessings that God will never give you unless you sleep properly. Because He gives it to His beloved even while He sleeps. So if he wants to give to his beloved and the beloved has not slept, they'll be waiting. Beloved, sleep now. We have a message for you. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What is my message again today? I didn't hear you enough.
Life is working.
Let's rise to our feet. Ooh. Please, begin to speak to your life. Begin to speak to yourself. Focus on one area in your life and just say to it, listen to me, my heart, life is working. My brain, life is working. My career, life is working. In my home, life is working. In my wife, life is working. In my husband, life is working. In my children, life is working. In my business, life is working. That is, this is the response to challenges. Is our response to challenge. I told you in our calls, this is how we do things. There is a word we speak for each thing. Today we have discovered another word. When you have a challenge, say it. Life is working. That is, it is not a sign that things are bad. Life is working. He said, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though outwardly it appears like things are decaying, yet we know that from inside it is being renewed day by day. So I speak to my health. Life is working. You know, that's the problem with aging. Is that people are getting old. As you get old, your heart gets weaker. Your liver starts feeling like this. Your stomach, you can't eat what you used to eat or taste what you used to taste. Say to them, not in my case. In my case, life is working. Life is working. Age is not a disease. When you get home, teach this to your parents. Age is not a disease. If you're a believer, in your life, the power of Christ is working. Life is working. Say concerning your academics, if you're a student, yes, you have failed before, but life is working. Life is working. Sometimes life works in different ways. Life wants you to understand that your study method is not good. You were not studying to learn. You were studying just to pass. Therefore, the working life did not allow you to pass so that you might study so as to learn. All the while, life is working. Life is working. Life is working. Life is working. Don't forget, the sun is shining even beyond that close clouds. It may cover things, but it is shining. So say to yourself again, using another word, the sun is shining. It's the same way of saying life is working. There's another way of saying life is working. He said, the sun is shining, even though I'm seeing the clouds, even though I'm seeing the rain, but I declare in the name of Jesus, the sun is shining. The sun is shining. Life is working. In this country, life is working. Oh, for all the poor, the prayers and the mercies of God we have called upon this land, I say to you again, life is working. Life is working. Life is working. Life is working. In my health, life is working. You know, the doctors describe the process of a disease. They tell you the cancer started in stage 1. It has moved to stage 2. It has moved to stage 3. If that person catches life in stage 3, it starts going back down to stage 2, down to stage 1, down to stage 0, and disappears. Why? Because it's called the power of life, and life is working. Life is working. Listen, old age is not a disease. For you as a child of God, it's not a disease. As you are growing older, you are getting wiser. You are strong. Your strength is sustained at the prime of life. He said, until the perfect day. For you, that's where the analogy ends. For the child of God, the analogy ends until the perfect day. Until the perfect day. Until the perfect day. When you hit the perfect day, it is sustained. Oh, I like the story of Caleb in the Bible. Caleb said it clearly, as my strength was 45 years ago, so is my strength today. Why? Because life was sustaining me. The power of the word of God that was spoken that day from the mouth of Moses has been sustaining me since that time till now. Life is working. There's a story I like to tell. Kenneth Hagin, he said that, beautiful story. He was reading it, and you see, the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. Not everything you let your eyes soak in, be believing every nonsense. You know, over the last few days, I've been reading a lot of scientific talk, and it's been quite exciting. I saw an essay written by Charles Townes, a man who won the Nobel Prize in 1964. He's an old man now. All right? I saw the essay. I heard statements that he made, a debate and all of that. And the man made it clear, essentially, that science is not more precise than religion. Let's forget it. As I told you about the 2 weeks ago, the edition of The Economist, and they saw that a lot of scientific facts people see out there, they are not true. They publish them in the top journals in the world, don't mean anything. A lot of them can't be replicated. When I read, I just shake my head and say, I thank God that God taught me to trust the word of God long ago. Taught me to trust the word of God long ago. Carnegie said he was reading one day, and he read that as you are getting older, you start forgetting. And he started believing it. Then one day he was reading the Bible, and Abraham said to the rich man who was being tormented, he said, son, remember. Suddenly he said, wait. It means you don't remember with your brain. You remember with your spirit. He said, in that case, sorry, I will never forget. I won't get to a point where I can't remember things anymore. Until he died, his memory was always sharp. Always sharp. Always sharp. And the other story I tell all the time is that of Terry Mize and Jackie Mize. Jackie said to Terry, the doctor said, I can't have children. I'm adding new words now. Terry said to her, don't worry, life is working. What did I say? Life is working. The woman had 4 children, easily. Are you getting my point? What did I say? Life is working. Life is working. Once again, let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I thank you. Because life is working. Hey, I refuse to believe what doctors are saying. I trust that life is working in me. You tell you are getting older and you have diabetes. Better, you know, when I see the way people go around these days, I don't drink this one. No, I don't need this one. I say, listen, just my own primary thing, be fit. Once you are fit, forget all of these things. Because the fact that life is working in you, life is working in you. The doctors are as the scientists, they are confused. Every day I read things, I wonder. See, why do people hang their lives on every little thing, being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine? They forget that life is working. If you're a child of God, just give the Lord and say, Father, I thank you because life is working in me. Life is working in my head. Prophesy to every part of your body. Life is working in my feet. It's working in my legs. It's working in my knees. It's working every part of me up to my head. It's working in my eyes. I will not become dim with age. No, I will see clearly as a 90-year-old woman, as a 90-year-old man. Why? Life is working. It's working. It's not just a miracle. It's working all the time. I'm not looking just an instantaneous change of things. No, life is a normal process for me. It's normal. If I injure myself, it will heal properly. Bacteria will not take me over. I eat all of them up because of the power of life that is working in me. Let's all bless this nation so that we can close. Let's begin to declare, say in the name of Jesus, concerning this nation, I declare that life is working in her. Say in the name of Jesus, we speak into this land again. And we declare that life is working. Life is working. It is rejecting every evil. It is vomiting up evil people. Because life is working. We speak to the economy of this nation. Life is working. We speak to security in this nation. Life is working. Hey, I forgot this. We must never forget it. We speak to the body of Christ. Hear ye, bride of Christ. Life is working in you. Truth is growing in you. You are rejecting evil. You are rejecting lies. In the name of Jesus. Declare it again. Say, life is working in the body of Christ. Life is working in the church of God. And let's go back to our country. Prophesy again. Say, in the economy of this nation, life is working. In the job market, life is working. In government, life is working. Listen to this. It will come to pass that anyone who does not have primarily in his heart the interest for the development of the country, God will not give him as much as a counselor's seat in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every minister that enters office and thinks that, yes, it's my time to enjoy, in 1 week he's gone.
Amen.
In 1 week he's gone.
Amen.
If God loves him, they will sack him. If God is angry, other things may happen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Why? Because we declare that life is working. In the airspace in Nigeria, what's happening?
Life is working.
We come against every air crash in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Men, we fly in peace in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
On our express road,
life is working.
When you travel, you are safe in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Concerning your life, life is working in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As you go out and you come in, the life of God is with you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say to you again, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
Because life is walking in you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling.
Amen.
Because life is walking with you.
Amen.
Because life is walking in you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord thanks. Let's just say, Father, we thank you. Let's just say, Father, we thank you. Just thank him because life is walking. Surely, God's goodness and his mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And you will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. And life will walk continually in you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Church of brethren.